Good morning. It's good to see all of you this Sunday. What a beautiful morning we have with the warm winds blowing in, the snow melting. We'll just take a minute to take a look at some of our announcements. I'll invite anyone who wants to come up and make an announcement to come up now.
About paper. I just want to highlight the prayer evening that I have started this year. Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6 says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And that's just something that I've grown to be more passionate about the past while. And so it is just to kind of give like an idea of like what to expect when you would come. It wouldn't be like a lot of a talking prayer, if that makes sense. It'd be more, my goal is to create a space where we can connect with God and just spend time with him and get to know him more, because if we don't know what the Father is doing, we can't do what he's doing, as in if we need to know his heart, and then from that place, we're going to be able to even minister more effectively and like live our lives in more alignment with the will of God when we know what the will of God is, because Colossians talks about like, I pray that you'll understand what the will of God is, and I just want to create a place where we can encounter God and that will affect our life. So yeah, I came up with a list of things that I would like that space to be. It'd be a place of communion with God, a place to just be at rest, and a place to hear God, a place to talk with God, a place to slow down and just refocus, and a place to worship, and also from that intercede for those around us and for our community. So I remember one time, I'm just going to highlight this one story that impacted me a few years ago, was when Carla did a children's story. I don't know where she is. And all she did was she just made the kids just like, we're just going to listen. And so like she had a minute where we just listened. And I just found that so profound for some reason, just like the word listen. And God kept speaking to me, listen, listen. And I remember there was one day when I was so just rushing and like, I need to just live my life for God, and I'm just freaking out about everything, and I'm freaking out. I just hear God saying, listen, but I wasn't actually listening to him say that, but I heard it. And then I finally obeyed, and I just went and sat in my room, and I just listened, and I just was quiet for like 15 minutes. And then he led my heart in a way that I couldn't have done otherwise. So he led me to these scriptures, and he like led me to places that were so encouraging and what I need to hear. And just so important for us just to slow down and just like, listen to what God is doing. And so that's kind of my vision for this thing. So it's this Saturday, March 7th. I have invited Melita to lead worship, or to lead us in music for an hour. And also Seth is going to be leading us in some worship as well. And just at least be a place to commune with God if you would like to come. No pressure. So yeah, thank you.
Just to highlight a couple of other announcements here. MCI has their musical this next weekend, and I'd invite prayer for that MCI student body. They are so exhausted getting ready for this, and the teachers are exhausted. I had a student fall completely asleep in a chair beside me this week, just exhausted. So please keep that community in prayer, and come and join us on the weekend if you're able to. They're presenting the musical Annie. Our spring congregational meeting is coming up in a few weeks. It's already March today. So our congregational meeting is coming up on March 22nd, and the youth will be preparing a noon meal for us that. So come for the meal and stay afterwards for the meeting. And there is still opportunity if you want to join the catechism class There's still opportunity to do so. They meet in Rudy's office during the Sunday school hour. Jonah had a very successful week, I heard. Jonah has been at the Special Olympics Nationals in Thunder Bay, and I heard he is coming back with 3 medals, is that right? 2 bronze and 1 gold. So we'll look forward to hearing his report when he comes back. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Well, to call us to worship this morning, I want to read Psalm 84. This is a psalm that we've had as our memory verse as a congregation in the past. It's a psalm about stepping away from the busy, bustling world and meeting with God in a place where people gather to worship and pray like we are doing this morning. It makes reference to a place on the way called the Valley of Baca. And the word Baca means suffering, so it's like we have to walk through times of struggle and tears on our way to meeting with God. The psalm also mentions springs and pools, which in the Hebrew can also be translated blessings. Interesting enough. I wonder if that's where the song Showers of Blessings comes from. The psalm talks about pilgrimage as well, and today marks the first Sunday of Lent, and that's a 40-day period before Easter where we journey with Jesus on his way to the cross, and we look forward to the joy of the resurrection morning. So Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord God Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools or blessings. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the opportunity to come together to meet with you in this place. Thank you for the strength that you provide when we put our trust in you. Amen.
As I heard from Walter this week about what he was going to be speaking on, the blessings and the importance of blessings, and I'm trying to find some songs that match with that and having some difficulty finding songs. And then I stopped to ponder and pray for a while, and I thought to myself, okay, so why are we just seeking blessings? What about if we then receive those blessings now? What's our response to that, and what's our role with that? So the songs that I've chosen request those blessings, but they also then turn us back around and say, okay, now what am I going to do with it? So we're going to start off with "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," number 310 in the hymnal, and I would ask you to please rise. This next one is a fairly old song, at least I think it is. I didn't check to see what the date on it was, but number 180 in the New Church Hymnal. "Like the woman at the well, I was seeking." And I think if we are honest with ourselves, we are all seeking something or someone or, something. But what is it we're looking for? Are we ready to receive that when it comes in a different shape than what we're looking for it?
I'll invite the ushers to come up and receive the offering.
Going to sing the song Goodness of God, which we've done before, and I just wanted to read a little blurb of what is the goodness of God. Just from one perspective, God's love is an exercise of his goodness. What the Bible means by God's goodness is his cosmic generosity. God's love is an exercise of his goodness towards sinners. As such, it has the nature of grace and mercy. It is an outgoing of God in kindness, which is not merely undeserved, but it's actually contrary of being deserved. For the objects of God's love are rational creatures who have broken God's law. And we merit only condemnation and banishment from his presence. It is staggering that God should love sinners, yet it is true. God loves creatures who have become unlovely and who one would have thought unlovable. There was nothing whatever in the objects of his love to call it forth, nothing in us that could attract or prompt his love. Love among persons is awakened by something in the beloved, but the love of God is free, spontaneous, unevoked, uncaused. God loves people because he's chosen to love them. And no reason for his love can be given except his own sovereign good pleasure. This is the goodness of God that we sing about. And as I worship, I often picture God before me, and I'm worshiping him in front of me because he is. And so let's continue to worship in the offertory.
I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
So my life, you have been faithful. Oh, my
of the goodness of God.
Thank you for that song. Let's bow to pray. Lord, thank you for choosing to love us. May we always sing of the goodness of God. For the opportunity to share your gifts to us, we give you thanks also, Lord. May we likewise share with others the gifts of your love and your salvation, so that many may come to know the blessings of life in you, Jesus. Lord, we continue to lift up to you those who need your continued healing in their lives. And so we ask this for Katrina Rempel, for Dave Rempel, for Marlene Entz, and for Chris Entz. We ask for your strength, your guidance and protection, your provision for those who are serving in faraway places. And we ask this for Tyler Lowen, for Ryan Thiessen, for Murray and Carol Hansberger, for Laura and her family in the Congo, for those who serve at Eagle's Wings. And Lord, we lift up also Matt and Lisa Weeb as they prepare to go to serve you in the Dominican. Thank you, Lord, for giving Jonah the opportunity to participate in the Special Olympics Nationals. And we ask that you give him and Shania safe journeys as they travel home today. And Lord, we are grateful for this church family, these brothers and sisters in Christ who worship together here in Rosetown. May our lives daily be a witness to your goodness and your grace. Amen. I'll invite the children to come forward for the children's story.
Hopefully this week is better. Not every week is good, hey? But there are still good things that can happen. That's what I think. So, this week was a little bit interesting for me because I asked Marilyn what Walter was going to be speaking on, and she said, blessings. Now, I had some time to think about what I was going to say, and I was really worried because I'm always very nervous to talk in front of people, so that was a small part of it. And I was like, what if I don't get it right? What if I tell you something and then Walter says something completely different? It's a fear I have, but after hearing what was going on today in the service, I think I'm on the right track, and I think God was working in my heart, and I feel really good about it. So, blessings. They can take some pretty interesting forms sometimes. And sometimes they're not always what you expect, and I think sometimes we have to turn them upside down and maybe even sideways to see what God is showing us. Do you think so? Sometimes they're like, what is this? And then we have to look at it a little bit differently. So I'm going to share two things with you about what God has been teaching me with blessings, and then we'll pray, and then you guys can go back to your seats. Sound good? Okay, but first, before I start, do we all know what a blessing is? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Can somebody tell me what it is? Yes, Jamin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something we've hoped for, and then we get it. It's kind of like a gift. Yeah, that's funny. So a few years ago, it would have been a few years ago already, I was living life and working and doing my own thing, and something pretty unexpected happened to me. My mom was told she had cancer, and that was kind of hard, you know, because I was doing my own thing, and I wanted to do my thing, and I wanted to do things my way. I didn't really want to stop, you know. Do you ever have that where you're going and you're doing your own thing and everything's good and it's flying in the right direction and the wind blows just the right way? Then all of a sudden it's like rain, lots of rain, and all of a sudden it gets cloudy, right? And it's hard, right? That's not what we expect. And I was very angry for a while because I was like, God, how could you do this? Like, I want to do my own thing. Like, don't you understand? I don't want to stop. Like, and I sat in that for a bit. And I had to think about it a little bit. But you know what? Looking back on it this week, because I was thinking about it, and I was like, that was really hard. But you know what? Also, it kind of blessed me in a way, because it caused me and my mom to slow down a little bit, because she had to slow down, because she had to get better. And we had lots of time together. We spent every morning I wasn't working, we sat and we had coffee and we chatted, and we were able to have a really, really good relationship that we weren't able to have before. And I think sometimes God wants us to pause and think and really, really just think about his goodness and think about it in a different way. You know, does that make sense? Now, I have one more story that happened to me a little recently this week. Hold on, let me just see if I'm on the right track here. Mark, my husband, has gone away for 2 weeks. I know, it's a long time. He left on Thursday. And at first, when he told me about where he was going, he wanted to go to the Philippines, which is like crazy far away in Asia. I was like, I don't know. I kind of need him here if something goes wrong. I just like him around. I'm like, what on earth would you want to go out there for without me? Lots of things, hey? And you know what? He's going someplace very special to him. He was a homeschool teacher out there one summer, and he built a really good relationship with a family, and he's going out there with his dad, and he's doing some building projects and helping them out, and he's doing really good things. So this week I was thinking about it, and I was like, God, like, I just don't know. Like, what could you be teaching me through this? And you know what he did? He looked at it and he said, Kim, let's look at it this way. Look at this blessing. Like, look what this family has done for Mark. It's taught him so many things and mentored him and has blessed him. And at that point, I was like, well, he needs to go. Like, this is his place. This is going to bless him. It's going to give him so much. He needs to go. So I was talking to him before he left, and he said, are you sure you're okay with this? And I said, you know what? You need to go. You need to go. This is where God wants you to be. This is going to bless you so much, and it has in the past. I want you to go. And I think that's sometimes hard, right? We get hard things, and we have to look at them a little bit differently, and then we have to step back a little bit and pause and pray. And I think that's something that we all need to do once in a while. Do you agree? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to pray, and then you guys can head back to your seats. God, thank you so much for who you are and what you've done in our lives and how you've shown us that you can bless us in so many different ways, and you are just so willing to teach us in hard moments and good moments, and I ask that you continue to do that in these kids' lives, that you shape them and you mold them and you give them good things and you teach them so many good and new things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I like the opening lines, Kathy, that you had about the storms of life or the valleys and the showers of blessing that we seek in them. And sometimes when we seek blessings, we want it to all be peaceful and calm and nice, and then we can perceive them nicely, at least so we think. This next song reminds us that Jesus calls us over the tumult of life, not when it's done, then he's going to call us. So we're going to start off with number 229 in the Mennonite hymnal again. Jesus calls us over the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. That's where he's calling us from. And then the song after that, we'll go right into that next one. It's called In the Garden Alone. That's, so we'll be recovering the two seasons of life, from the wild, restless to the in the garden alone. And in all of that, God is encompassing our call. Number 229 in the hymnal, please.
Good morning. This morning I'll be reading Genesis 27, verses 1 to 41. So it pays to open up your Bible. If I would have realized there's 41 verses, I might have answered a little different in my enthusiastic absolutely yesterday. All good. Esau's blessing to Jacob. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered him, "Here I am." And he said, "Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me a savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your older brother, saying, 'Bring me game, make me savory food for me, that I may eat of it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from the two choice kids of goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver of him, and I shall bring curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went out and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took choice clothes from her eldest son Esau, which were with her in her house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put on skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on a smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Then he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and he said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his clothes, and blessed him, and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field, such as the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Curse everyone who curses you, and bless those who bless you." Then it happened, as soon as Esau finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise, eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? You are the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and you have blessed, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said to him, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has taken advantage of me these two times, and he took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessings." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me also?" And Isaac answered and told Esau, "Indeed I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me and even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said to him, said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob."
Thanks, Kevin. Three short notes about blessing before I begin. A mother invited some people to dinner. At the table, she turned to her six-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say the blessing?" "I wouldn't know what to say," the girl replied. "Just say what you hear mommy say," the mother answered. The little girl bowed her head and, with sincerity in her voice, said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" Another one. Two old friends met each other on the street one day. One looked forlorn, almost on the verge of tears. His friend asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" The sad fellow said, "Let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. That's a lot of money. But you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000, free and clear. Sounds to me that you've been very blessed." "You don't understand," he interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt passed away and inherited almost $250,000 from her." Now the man's friend was really confused. "Then why do you look so glum?" "This week, nothing." One more. "God, can I ask you a question?" God says, "Sure." "Promise me you won't get mad?" "I promise." "Why did you let so much stuff happen to me today?" "What do you mean?" "Well, I woke up a little late." "Yes." "My car took forever to start." "Okay." "At lunch, They made my sandwich wrong and I had to wait.
Mm-hmm.
On the way home, my phone went dead just as I picked up a call. All right. And to top it all off, when I got home, I just wanted to soak my feet in my new foot massager and relax. But it wouldn't work. Nothing went right today. Why did you do that? God says, let me see. The death angel was at your bed this morning, and I had to send one of my angels to battle him for your life. I let you sleep through all of that. I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on the road, and that would have hit you if you were on the road. The first person who made your sandwich today was sick, and I didn't want you to catch what they have. I knew you couldn't afford to miss work. Your phone went dead because the person that was calling was going to give false witness about what you said on that call. I didn't even let you talk to them so that you would be covered. Oh, and that foot massager? It had a short in the wiring and that was going to cause an injury. I didn't think you wanted to get hurt. Oh, sorry, God. Don't be sorry. Just learn to trust me in all things, the good and the bad. We use the word bless or blessing so often. We use the term bless you after you sneeze. You ever wondered why? One of the symptoms of the plague was coughing and sneezing, and it is believed that Pope Gregory I in the 6th century suggested saying God bless you after a person sneezed in hopes that this prayer would protect them from an otherwise certain death. The expression may also have originated from superstition. Some people believe that the custom of asking for God's blessing began when an ancient man thought that the soul was in the form of air and resided in the body's head. A sneeze, therefore, might accidentally expel the spirit from the body unless God blessed you and prevented this from occurring. Sometimes I still don't know why we say it. We might also use the word bless when we talk about what someone did or said. We say, bless their heart. Or when wishing someone well, we might say, blessings on you. Or before the meal, we ask the blessing. We ask God to bless us. We sing, bless the Lord, O my soul. We have a benediction where we ask God to bless us. And we have parental blessings, etc. What do all these blessings mean, and how do we give or receive blessings? The word bless means special mercy, favor, or benefit. The word bless, blesses, or blessing appears in the NIV Bible about 430 times. And the first place in the Bible that we see the word bless is in Genesis 1, where God, after creating male and female in his own image, blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. God has given us his special mercy, favor, and benefit. Some of us are familiar with the story of Abraham, where God calls him to leave his country and tells him to go to the land that he will be shown. That's in Genesis 12. And God promises to Abraham in verses 2 and 3 of that chapter. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow, how did Abram feel after receiving a blessing like that from God? Then we read in chapter 14 that Melchizedek, king of Salem, also blessed Abram. He says, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. There is a blessing that takes place in the Bible that has had me baffled for a long time, and it seems like an undeserved, stolen blessing. And you figured it out already. It is from the scripture passage just read by Kevin. It is the blessing that Isaac gives his younger son, Jacob. After reading that story, some of my immediate questions would be, so why couldn't Isaac take back his own blessing and correctly give it to Esau? Why couldn't Isaac bless Esau too? Why did the parents play favorites? How could all this deceiving be blessed? how could a person like Jacob be blessed after all he had done? How could Walter be blessed after all he could be done? Exactly what was the blessing that Isaac gave Jacob? The blessing was, he went to him, kissed him, and when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Blessings in the days of the patriarchs, that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were more than just well-wishing. They were a form of prophecy. For example, do you remember Jacob's blessings on his 12 sons? Jumping ahead a little bit, Jacob was about to die in the land of Egypt, and he calls his 12 sons. And he not only stated what would happen to each one of them, but also stated from which son the Messiah would descend. The blessings through Abraham's descendants were particularly important because they were the indications from God who was to be the focus of the promises made to Abraham. Now, before the birth of his twin sons, Isaac and Rebekah were told in a prophecy who was to receive the blessing. We have to go only two chapters back to find the answers in Genesis 25, and it says, "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" Isaac, for some reason, took it upon himself that he would rather have Esau receive the blessing. And notice that in stating, "Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you," whom he thought was Esau, he was going directly against what God stated before their births. Whether Isaac forgot the prophecy or that he just favored Esau over Jacob isn't 100% clear. To get himself in the proper frame of mind, he wanted Esau to prepare his favorite meal. Was he just gearing himself up to go against what he knew he should do? Unknown to him, Rebekah substituted Jacob instead. Though we frown on the deception, remember that from Rebekah's point of view, she was keeping her husband from going against God. Whether she did this intentionally with God's words in mind, or she just favored Jacob, the result was that despite his or her intentions, Isaac confirmed in his blessing what God stated would be true. That is why Isaac's reaction was so strong. It says, "Then Isaac trembled violently." Was that the aha moment that Isaac had when he, "Oh yeah, I remember"? Or was he trembling just because he had been deceived? Either way, God kept him from giving the blessing to the wrong person. I suspect that even if Isaac had tried to give the blessing to Esau, it would not come out as he intended. This is why when Esau begged to be given a blessing too, Isaac refused. Isaac answered and said to Esau, "I have made him Lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Isaac understood that the blessing was also a prophecy and could not be changed. Isaac did give Esau a blessing, but more of a prophecy, and it wasn't what Esau hoped to get. Isaac tells him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of heaven above. You'll live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." One thing to remember from these events is that God's word always prevails. In 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, it says, Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. There is another place in the Bible that a blessing is requested and not given. It is asked by none other than Pharaoh himself. Just when the Israelites are leaving Egypt upon Pharaoh's request, we see it. It is just after the last plague has taken effect. Pharaoh's firstborn is dead. Exodus 12. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said and go. And also bless me." You catch those last four words? "And also bless me." We often skip over this in the Exodus story, but Pharaoh asks Moses for a blessing before they leave. Why? Maybe what Pharaoh wants from Moses' blessing is a stopping of this plague, but the two verses before that suggest the plague has already done its work and run its course. Does he, in making such a request, hope for some payback or some sort of trade-off for releasing the Hebrew people? Is this the prayer of a man at his wit's end? And can we hear Pharaoh say something like what Jacob says to the man he was wrestling all night, "I will not let you go unless you bless me"? Predictably, Pharaoh desires a blessing, but repenting for his disgraceful, arrogant behavior never crosses his mind. There's three things I noticed about Pharaoh's request. First of all, this is not a conversion story. It was a polytheistic culture, many gods. And in conceding that Moses' God had won the day, so to speak, he is not discarding the gods of his own people, but simply adding Moses' God to his list of gods, now that he feels the Hebrew God has proven himself. Pharaoh is admitting that God had the ability to bless or curse, but there's nothing that goes beyond that admission. That can be true of us as well. We say we trust in the atoning work of Jesus for our lives, but we rely on materialism for our comfort or on technology to solve our problems. We are all, to some degree, polytheistic, but we would never think to put it in those terms. Secondly, the feeling is momentary for Pharaoh. He changes his mind again and sends his army after the people, the result being the familiar story of parting of the Red Sea. To whatever end Pharaoh converts, it is a short-term conversion. That could be true of people today, to refer to the parable, the seeds are choked out by weeds, wither in the sun, or are scattered by the wind. People are very sincere in the moment, but return to the old mindset. We might say we want to rid ourselves of a particular sin, but fall back into it. Third thing I noticed is that Moses does not respond. At an earlier occasion, Pharaoh had turned to Moses and said, "Plead for me," or some versions say, "Pray for me." That was after the plague of the flies. Pharaoh wanted the flies to go away, and he says, "Pray for me." The Bible says that Moses did so. Now, Pharaoh asks again, but Moses is silent. Pharaoh, representative of Egypt himself, may be pleading on behalf of his empire, "Tell me that we will get past this terror." Or perhaps Pharaoh was pleading as a parent, a person in pain, a human being hurt by his own self-confidence, and he is seeking a moment of compassion. He has just lost his son. It is clear that Moses has access to greater power than do the Egyptians, and he asks for comfort in his loss, recognition for his pain, and some soothing word of consolation. Or perhaps Pharaoh is seeking life itself. One Jewish teaching suggests that he himself is a firstborn. "Bless me that my life will be spared," is maybe what he is asking. My first thought is, how could one bless a person who has enslaved a people so harshly? How could he deserve a blessing after all he did? how can Walter deserve a blessing after all he has done? Let us look at one more Bible story about a blessing found in 2 Chronicles 14, chapters 14 to 16. No, we're not going to read the whole thing right now, but I'd encourage you to do so. I'll give you the Coles Notes version, or Cliff's Notes if you're a bit younger. Asa was the son of King Abijah. He was one of 22 sons, and he had 16 sisters. His father had 14 wives. When Asa became king of Judah, it states that the country was at peace for 10 years, and that he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, his God. His father had obviously allowed the people to have foreign gods, Asherah poles and altars in the high places. King Asa removed all these and commanded Judah to seek the Lord. He builds up the fortified city since the land was at peace. It states that there was no one at war with him during these years, for the Lord had given him rest. So because the Lord has given them rest, they built up the towns, put walls around them because they were prospering. They give God the credit for the peace and prosperity. Then we read that Zerah the Cushite marches with a large army. Cush is just below Egypt on the map. And they come with an army of 300 chariots, and it says thousands upon thousands of men. Some Hebrew texts say a thousand thousands, which is a million. Asa had an army of 300,000 men of Judah and 280,000 from Benjamin. Now here's an interesting note. King Asa pleads with God because his army is puny in size compared to the Cushite army. He had only 580,000 men. And we read in 2 Chronicles 14:11, then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is none like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. I find that interesting. 580,000 men. Look how many people he had. Look how much stuff he had. Yet, he relied on the Lord. Look how much stuff Walter has. Does he rely on the Lord? The Lord strikes down the Cushites before Asa and his army. So many Cushites fell that day that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord. Judah carries off a large amount of plunder. They destroy a bunch of villages, for the terror of the Lord had fallen upon them. And I like what verse 14 says. They plundered all these villages since there was much booty there. I didn't know that word was in the Bible. Then they return to Jerusalem and they give credit to the Lord for their victory. In chapter 15, the Spirit of God comes upon a prophet named Azariah who meets King Asa and tells him this. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. In response to the prophet's word, Asa removes all foreign idols, even in the towns he just captured. He assembles everyone from Judah and Benjamin and others that had moved into the country and sacrificed animals to the Lord. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord with all their heart and soul. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. Asa even deposed his own grandmother from her position as queen mother because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. Asa cut the pole down, broke it, and burnt it. Wow, how many of us would have the courage to go against your own grandmother's beliefs if you knew that they were not of the Lord? That would make for some interesting family gathering conversation. Then comes a turning point. The king of Israel wants to take over Judah. So King Asa, stay with me now. So King Asa goes to a king of Aram. King of Aram had an alliance with Israel. Esau bribes king of Aram to break the treaty with Israel so that he would fight with Judah. King Aram says, sure. Let's read about the result of this treaty from chapter 16, starting from verse 7. After Israel is defeated. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Esau, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord, your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet, when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing. From now on, you will be at war. Esau was angry with the seer because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Esau brutally oppressed some of the people. The events of Esau's reign from beginning to end are written in the books of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Esau was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then, in his 41st year of his reign, Esau died and rested with his ancestors. Can you see the cause of blessing and curse? Can you see that when one seeks the Lord, trusts in his word and obeys it, that the blessings are promised? And when one does not seek him and does things their own way, that there are no blessings? I've asked my Sunday school class this before. How many parents here want to bless their children when they are disobedient? Luke 11, verse 13. Says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Aren't we as parents just waiting to bless our children when they are obedient? How do you bless a disobedient child? How does God bless a disobedient child? Can we not see that our Heavenly Father does desire to bless his children? He wants so badly to show his favor on those that seek and trust him. He wants us to love the Lord with all our heart. It doesn't sound like we can demand a blessing from him as if we deserve one, but are we living a life that he does want to bless? Do we ask God to bless us without checking to see if there is any sin in our lives? Is he pleased with the choices we make, and are we serving him with all our heart and soul? If we aren't, we cannot expect God to bless us. If we are living in his favor, he gratefully accepts the gifts. We gratefully accept the gifts that he lavishes on us. And did you know that as a follower of Jesus, we fall under the same blessing that I read to you earlier about Abraham? We read in the New Testament in Galatians 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Deuteronomy 11:13-15. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Blessings from God are a special mercy, favor, and benefit. So let us remember next time, as we seek his blessing, that we ask it because we truly do seek his mercy, favor, and benefit, and what he desires of us. Amen.
Let's rise and sing together number 296 in this red hymnal again, Count Your Blessings.
Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you knowing we are a fallen people, saved only by your grace. You have taught us in your word how to live for you so that you are pleased. Only then can we ask you the same thing that Aaron spoke over the Israelites. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.